one aspect of Jewish affairs that touches very close to home for every American is the whole business of how all of us must pay extra for our food so that Jews can have products made according to their peculiar religious ritual requirements. To a lively audience at the University of California in Santa Barbara, Rockwell explained the kosher food racket this way, starting out with a few remarks on the leftist student organizations that are almost all run by Jews.
You folks that are Christians and are following these, well, not Christians, Gentiles, that are following these people, you might look and see who's running your outfit. Who are you working for? Communism has nothing to do with helping folks, as I'll show a little later here. It's to put Jews in power. I'm going to show you how far these people go in screwing you, and you don't know anything about it. You're not allowed to know it, but I want to show you what they're doing to you as you sit here today. The money that they're taking out of your pocket with the utmost arrogance, and they got you all putting your little Jewish stars on to show how you love them. Well, now let me see how long you want to keep paying them for doing this. Here is a cover of a directory called Kosher Products Directory. There's a big U here in a circle. Well, now you may think we're talking about matzo balls and gefilte fish. We're not. This is a directory, ladies and gentlemen, of grocery supplies that you can find all over your grocery shelves, like Ajax Cleanser, for instance, or all sorts of Sanka coffee, almost any kind of food that you can think of. When you get out of here, go home and look on your grocery shelf, and you'll find about one out of three cans and bottles somewhere buried away is this little U or a K. The R means registered and the C means copyright, but the K means culture, and the U means Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations. The U and the K, ladies and gentlemen, mean that you have paid a rabbi to bless this chow in order to make it kosher. Well, now, I wonder what you would think. What would you think if the Catholics did this? Would you tolerate it? The Jews would be screaming, separation of church and state. This is an outrage. Why should we pay to eat Catholic food? Why should you pay to eat Jewish food? At one point, we weren't going to eat it. And we almost starved to death for a week. We had to go back and eat kosher food. I found out even antifreeze is kosherized. And there's no excuse for this. In fact, the Jews themselves put out a newsletter, William Zuckerman's Jewish newsletter, and he says here in Zuckerman's newsletter, facts and comments, the kosher racket. And Zuckerman says, my God, fellow Jews, we got to put a stop to these Hebrews that are running this kosher racket because they're going to get us all exposed and gassed. Here's what he says. He says that one rabbi in Cleveland has sued the Coca-Cola company for $30,000. For 1 year's blessing of the Coca-Cola. Probably snipped the end of the bottle off or something up there for his fee, but in any case, the people of Cleveland were paying $30,000 for one summer's blessing of one product. Now, you multiply that by all the products, all the years and seasons, all the rabbis, and all the cities in America, and you know what you get? He says in here, it's got up to be a $6 million a year racket. And he says what it is a protection racket. That any manufacturer that won't pay these Hebrews for the privilege of putting this little hexer on it, it's called a K or a U, then they can't sell their products. The Jewish wholesalers and so forth just cut them off. It's a protection racket. That's what the Jews say here. You just figure that out. You're paying $6 million a year to eat kosher food. You wouldn't let the Catholics get away with it. Did you ever hear it? Did you ever know this was going on? And if you think I'm lying, go look at your groceries when you get home. Every time I speak, I get letters from people. I'm appalled. I went home and everything in my shelf was covered with K's and U's. You will be too.
What then did he propose to do about the Jewish situation? Here is what he said before a symposium at Northwestern University.
What I believe about the Jews is that you should treat the Jews, each one as an individual, and I think that you'll find that a tremendous proportion of them, just as in the treason statistics, are engaged either in communism, Zionism, race mixing, or are aiding and abetting these things. And I think each one of them who can be convicted in front of an American jury for a crime by our laws should be dealt with by law. That's all I advocate, nothing else.
The question is, would you explain what it is that's inherent in the Jewish race that makes them become communists?
The only thing that I can explain, I am unable to answer that definitively. I can only say this. In psychology, any of you who are students of psychology or psychiatry know that there are two symptoms of paranoia. The main symptoms of paranoia, and I'm sure you'll have to agree with me, are delusions of grandeur and delusions of persecution. And I know of one group of people that has made a religion out of this. They say, we are chosen people of God, and everybody hates us and persecutes us, and we're scapegoats. So I truly believe these people participate in a little paranoia. That's the only explanation I can figure out. It's irrational. Here they come to the greatest, here comes the Rosenberg, to the greatest country in the world that treats them with all kind of hospitality and opened its arms to them, and they join the communist conspiracy to turn us over to the Soviet Union. You have to explain it to me. I can't do it.
Our communist
Due to the poor quality of this recording, this question is not completely intelligible, but Commander Rockwell's reply is an interesting interpretation of psychology.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, that's a loaded question. I am not saying Jews are communists. That's what you're saying. I'm saying too many Jews are communists. Why they are communists, I don't know. I only suspect that they believe that they're God's chosen people. They're superior to us. I think that they think that this is the way to lead the world to the millennium. And I think that they mistakenly believe they're doing something great by being communists.
I think they sincerely believe that it's going to lead to a better world run by the Jews and much more orderly and peaceful than we got. They think we're a bunch of ruffians and hoodlums. One of them, Marcus Eli Ravitch, and a couple of other Jews have written books about how the Gentiles are basically like little boys playing soldier. They're ruffians. And only the Jews can bring peace to the world. I think that they're obsessed with this idea that they're so intelligent and brilliant, and they're ordained by God to bring peace and order and direction to the world.
Let me tell you what this is leading up to. What they're doing to you as a result of all this lying and manipulation. Remember, let me start out by saying this. Communism has nothing to do with helping poor people. If it were, if communism were a disease of poor people, then there's something very peculiar in this country. They only got one communist identified in Mississippi. The poorest state in the United States is Mississippi. One commie. Do you know where they got the most? The two richest states, California and New York, and they're especially concentrated in New York City and Hollywood. This is the FBI statistics shows identified communists, that's where they are. It so happens that's also where most of the Jews are. But of course, you're not supposed to think about that. That's naughty.
Lincoln Rockwell had dedicated himself, body and soul, to a political career, but obviously he was no politician in the usual sense of the word. To a radio announcer calling from a Canadian station, he sketched his political future this way.
Well, just before I turn you back over to another one of our listeners for a phone call, I only have one more question I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
Some of your critics say that you're very literate and that if your views were not quite so radical, then you could go a long way in politics. Well, why haven't you taken their advice?
Because I think what I have done, I believe the country is moving rapidly to a revolutionary situation. I think that we're going to have to move over more, and the country is going to move over very rapidly to the point where outfits like the John Birch Society will be a joke. They're too sissified and panty-waist. I have staked my claim out on a piece of ground where I think the American people will want to stand by a few years ahead. In other words, I'm planning for the future. I am a radical because I think the situation is going to become more and more radical, and so far I've been right.
So far you haven't had much support either for your views.
Well, neither did Jesus for quite a few years there. He only had about, I think it was 30 people when he died, and only 100 people 100 years later, but he did pretty good.
This is Penny Nyland reporting for KZSU Radio Stanford. I'm at the home of George Lincoln Rockwell, commander of the American Nazi Party, in Arlington, Virginia, near Washington, D.C. Commander Rockwell, I wonder if you could give us a little, perhaps philosophical background of the American Nazi Party. I know that many of our listeners know nothing about the party but what they read in the newspaper.
Well, I think the first and most important thing is to disabuse people of the false notions given to the public about the party by the press and TV and so forth. For instance, that we're Germans. Almost none of us are Germans or speak any German. Now, just last week, I got the first man here who can translate German as a student. We are not connected in any way with any other foreign country. Almost everybody, like myself here, are veterans. I myself have 19 and a half years in the United States Navy and rose from an enlisted man to a commander as a Navy pilot. We don't seek to overthrow the government. In fact, we seek to protect it. We think that the United States government, as designed by the Founding Fathers, is the ideal mean between tyranny and anarchy. A tyranny being the complete right, and anarchy being the complete left. And we think that the golden mean is the American Constitutional Republic run by authoritarian leaders like George Washington. And finally, we believe that the most important thing that needs to be done is to protect the people who are capable of building white Western civilization. In other words, the type of people who built this republic were not Negroes and not Jews. They were whites, and we feel that these people constitute the majority in America and that they have the right to dominate their own country. In other words, the will of the majority should prevail, not minority tyranny such as we have here in this country now.
Then you would not characterize your organization as a fascist one?
No, we are not fascists. We are National Socialists. There is a tremendous difference. Fascists believe in an economic doctrine, and what few people know, for instance, that the head of fascism in Italy for a long time, or rather in the city of Rome, the head of fascism was the Grand Rabbi of Rome. In other words, fascism is not basically anti-Semitic. Fascism is an economic doctrine, and we are not primarily concerned with economics. As National Socialists, our prime concern is with people. We believe that the most important problem of our times is race. I think the world is approaching a race war. And communism and capitalism and all these ideas will disappear because I think that everybody is now wearing the uniform of a soldier in the race war that's approaching. And you can't doff that uniform. You are a white girl, and a black man is a black man, and that's his uniform in the race war approaching. So the National Socialists are racists, fascists are economic thinkers. We are not fascists. We believe in free enterprise.
To a private meeting of National Socialist activists in Chicago in the early 1960s, Commander Rockwell had these thoughts on strategy.
There is only one way to win back for our race and our nation the birthright that was conferred on us by our founding fathers. And that way is to fight. You don't win it by talking. You don't win it by publishing newspapers. You don't win it by passing pamphlets and saying, take a look at this, what the Jews are doing. That doesn't win anything. You go out where the Jews are, and the Jews come up, of course, and they try to kill you, and in the process, people see that they're not such love and brotherhood people as they're supposed to be. They're pretty vile. This is the way that every single great advance in the history of the world has been written and run. One of the models that I like to use quite often is that the road to the White House leads through the jails, through the jail cells. The path to the palace leads through the dungeons. All through history, this has been true. Do you realize that George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and the other founders of our country were traitors? If they had lost, they would have been hung on Tyburn Gallows. And if you had been British subjects now, you would have read about the colonial rebellion led by the traitor Washington. And he would have been hung. They risked that. My technique, as I explained here last night in the speech, is, as one columnist in Los Angeles put it, to make human punching bags out of ourselves, in a sense. You can't tell people what Jews are like. How many of you have tried and tried and tried and showed all the facts and show somebody what the Jews are doing? They won't look. They won't read. Well, let me give you a good way to teach them. You wait till our next demonstration. Wait till I announce that I'm going to speak in Chicago. And the same people that won't listen to what the Jews are like and won't read, let them come down and watch these apostles of tolerance and brotherhood. Let them watch what these Jews act like in the public square. And when they see these Jews spitting and screaming and their noses waving in the breeze, when they see what they look like, the people will be horrified. I don't know how many people were here last night, but I think it's worth repeating. The CBS man who did the white paper on the right wing, and particularly the John Birch Society, was out in Pershing Square when I spoke out there. And afterwards he came up to me and he said that he had absolutely disgust for the right wing. And he thought I was going to be the worst of all. But when he saw what the Jews were doing to me out there in that square and how they were acting, he says, by God, he was ready to become a Nazi. And the police said the same thing. This is the best lesson in the world. Let people see what the Jews are like. That's one of the other reasons why we get out and demonstrate in the streets the way we do. Somebody's got to picket Gus Hall. Who does? Who is? You ever heard of Gus Hall being picketed before? He was last night. Only lasted 20 seconds. And five men are in jail for it. But somebody should have been picketing them a long time ago. Well, we're doing it, and we're going to continue to do it. We're getting young people more and more. You can't get them by passing them papers. You can't get them by talking to them. You can't get them by private meetings. You get them by fighting them. Getting out there in the streets and defying these Jew traitors. And egging them on. Come on, you Jew cowards. Let's see what you got. And each time it gets a little worse for the Jews. And as I told you, I think I'm going to, I'm looking to see what the possibilities are and how bad it will be for the party. And I think I may lead a mass picket line of about 150 Nazis from all over the country out there, our biggest and baddest guys, and then let's see those Jews come out. And if they do, I'll guarantee you they'll be laid in little rows. I'll have one guy just detail it, laying them all out in rows, each one with a lily in his hand.
Do you believe in violence?
I believe in violence if anybody offers me any. Punch me in the nose, you'll find out.
That spirited repartee came in an interview with two radio newsmen in Birmingham, Alabama. The conversation continued.
What do you think of Hitler?
I think Hitler, as I told you walking over here, I think our age, we are living in an age when our scoundrels are elevated into great men, like Roosevelt and Churchill, and our great men are degraded and humiliated and cursed and so forth. I think that Hitler, just like Christ before him, was crucified by the Jews for doing precisely the same thing. Christ went into a synagogue with a whip and beat those Jews out of that synagogue. If anybody did it today, he'd be called just exactly what I am and what Hitler is, an anti-Semite and a bigot and a monster and so forth. Hitler drove the Jews out of Germany. He did not gas them. He simply drove many of them out. All the top ones, anyway, got over here, and the rest of them are buying real estate up and down our main streets. And I think that Hitler, all he did was save Germany from the same things that are tearing up our country now.
And on Hitler's National Socialism, Rockwell had this to say to that same beatnik assembly we listened in on earlier.
Can you tell me of any notable achievement in the progress and understanding of mankind made by the Nazis or the Nazi Party?
Well, sir, the answer to that is this. The Nazi ideology has made notable contributions to civilization. In fact, I think it has made the greatest. Like many other things throughout history, when an ideology is first propounded, when it is truly ahead of its time and greater than the people who it is propounded to, it is usually scorned. It is usually not understood, and it's misunderstood. And I would say that the greatest advance that Nazism has made, the basic thing that Nazism presents to the world, is this. All humanity now recognizes science as supreme, the scientific method. Fact, just exactly what exists is the most important, not what people wish to exist, but what does exist. The fact and the scientific method and approach towards things is what's important. And the Nazi contribution has been this. Whereas all other approaches towards sociology have been theocratic and have been mostly humanistic, and have been egocentric. All of them, without exception, have said that men are more important than anything. Nazism says men are only part of nature, that men must obey the rules of nature the same as anybody else, and that where you can breed animals, where you can breed animalculae, where you can breed protozoa, you can also breed men. And if you breed poor protozoa, or poor dogs, or poor cows, or poor animals, you breed a mess. And our world today is breeding a mess. And what Nazism says is that we cannot escape the rules of science as they prevail in biology, and we must apply the rules of biology to human beings, which means race.
Rockwell, do you believe in the supremacy of the Aryan race?
Yes, sir!